There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
You'll kill again.
I'll kill again!
Oh, you don't want to give me a discount on my croissant-witch? Oh, I'll kill again!
I don't know what a croissant-witch is.
And you'll never find the bodies! Oh, the little girl's shoes!
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a croissant sandwich.
Oh, the croissant-witch!
Yes.
I'm a respected customer!
If you do not
treat me with respect here at this Burger King, I'll kill again!
All right, well, let's just start the show. That's Marcus, and then I'm Ben, and then with us, as always, he seems angry today.
I'll kill again!
How many have you killed?
Oh, let's not worry about my numbers.
So
but
none.
Let's just say, no, let's just say if I do not get a discount on my coffee today, little Miss Barista, there'll be another missing girl in this neighborhood because I will kill again!
Ooh!
I'm the BTK killer!
Very interesting, BTK. Not as scary as you might seem to be.
No. He's actually very nice. Actually, so,
that's
no,
what we'll be
I'm
talking
Henry
Zabrowski.
I'm sorry about this.
Yeah. That's what we'll be talking about, BTK. His full name, Dennis Lynn Rader.
Oh, Lynn?
Bad middle name on this poor serial killer.
We were going to do another episode about something else today. I even forget what it was. Oh, it's something very interesting that we will do in the future.
Yeah.
Alien
surprise. Surprise.
It's a surprise. But then end up, you know, just, you know, lopsy-dopsy, just sitting there watching a documentary on the BTK killer
by myself. Wearing pants? No pants.
No pants.
Good, good.
What are you talking about?
Hey, man.
I literally was entirely naked except for socks laying in my bed.
Oh.
While I sent you those emails.
Oh, that is so gross. Why did you keep your socks on?
I don't know. It was cold in my room.
But yeah, you were totally naked except for socks.
You lose more temperature out of your feet.
No, it's out of your head.
Than out of your ass. I think that's true.
I do think you lose more. Yeah, that's true about the ass versus the
feet. I had a pillow on my head.
Okay, good.
So I'm sitting there and I end up watching this documentary by the BTK killer. And it scared the living fuck out of me. This stuff is scary. So It's like, well, let's cover it. Let's cover it. Because We never really went in depth about the BTK killer. He's a fucking monster.
And of course, BTK stands for Bind, Torture, Kill.
Bind, Torture, Kill.
Yeah. In that order, because this guy's a nerd.
This guy is a nerd.
He's such a nerd.
And that's the thing about him, too, is that so it's like, I realize in the end, it's like, why have we never given enough credence to the BTK killer? Because once you get into his story, it's absolutely compelling. It's an amazing serial killer story. He was never caught. His activity was regular. In terms of like, I was watching a documentary before he was caught. It's all like, but will he kill again? And that's the best thing about being a serial killer that goes on hiatus is that anytime you want, you can just go, I'll kill again.
Right.
You just send a letter to the police and then you just get anything you want. You get coupons to Walmart.
Do you think that's what it is?
Oh, yeah. Free Vans shoes. You just go to Vans and be like, I'll represent Vans shoes or I'll kill again. And it's just a man with a fucking pillowcase hat on selling Vans shoes. He can't say who he is. He's like, you'll buy these Vans shoes or I'll kill again.
That's a good point. I feel like if you threaten to kill again, I mean, you're going to get whatever you need.
Anything you want.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cat and mouse game with the police. This guy, it's an amazing story. But the guy's a fucking nerd, pussy, like fucking
so
horrible, pinch-faced baby man.
So start us off here. So he's in Kansas. It's a lonely man's place. Not a lot of folks around.
Let's set the temperament for Kansas.
First of all, what year are we in here?
It's the year
1977 is when the first killing happens.
Okay, 1977. So
all right, now let's just imagine it's Kansas.
Lost.
And the way we do this, right? All right, what's in Kansas? There's nothing. Right.
Nothing there.
There's dirt.
Yeah.
Farmland.
This is Wichita, mountains. Kansas. Right. Population 500,000.
So you hear this.
Yeah, corn here. Yeah. Got some corn here.
And that's the number one radio show in Kansas. You know, that's actually what they would listen to for entertainment.
This is the environment that the BTK killer was born in.
Right. And this is why his brain seems a little bit dull, a little bit slow. And we were talking about how we never gave him credence before. I think that's sort of why. He's sort of your uncle's serial killer.
Not,
you
not
know,
when
he's
you get
not
it.
The coolest guy around.
Unless you, I mean,
Gacy was a clown, for Christ's sake.
The problem was that it's also, this was a guy who had to beg for press attention. This was a guy who had to, he had to fucking have a temper tantrum about people not paying attention to him when it was like, Son of Sam got that shit, bam, out the
New
door.
New York Post Daily News.
He was the Lucas Brothers of serial killers.
So 1977, this is when he gets his first kill. How old was he here?
That's the card, yeah.
32 when he first he started 32. Killing at 32, and at this time he was already married
with
two children.
Yeah, because Phil Hartman got picked up by SNL when he was 32. That's another good. That's a good number. It's a good
industry.
Age.
Yeah,
hitting your stride at 32.
And isn't that said? Phil Hartman is dead. BTK still lives.
Yeah, still lives, doing 175 years in prison
with
the
his fucking frowny
sentence.
Face on.
Ten
smile,
consecutive,
buddy.
Yeah, 10 consecutive life sentences. Which
and
you
here's
know.
What's interesting about his sentencing is they even though he was caught in 2005 they didn't reinstate the death penalty in Kansas until 1994, and since the murder. Took place before then, he was not eligible for the death penalty.
What a
grandfathered him in. So 77, do we have any information on the first victim that he took, or what was his life like up before he started killing? He was married, he had two children.
His life up until that, see, when he was a kid, he is actually quoted as saying, he's like, I can't believe nobody noticed there was something wrong with me. Because he used to tie himself up. And this was a practice that continued on later on in his life.
This is when he just gave himself the nickname B.
For binding.
Yeah. He would bind himself
he's
up
like
when he
Christmas
was a kid.
Present.
Yeah, yeah. A little geisha girl.
Yeah, and give himself like sexual release. He of course mutilated animals, and he continued that later on in his life. There is a collection of pictures that I saw in which he would bind himself up, and through a very complicated Rube Goldberg machine, he would set up a Polaroid camera to take pictures of himself.
What a sick
while
fuck.
He was bound up, and he had a lady mask. Like a really creepy lady mask that he would bet.
Where are these pictures?
Huh?
Have you seen these pictures?
Yeah.
Where are they?
They're on that site that you sent me.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go deeply all the way through.
Yeah, I went
really
through the entire
up.
Fucking thing.
I found this
great.
Insane free website that was, I mean, again, just the only thing you get, primo fucking deep cut internet, like BTK archive. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think you started Googling for it when you were fully clothed, but then the website wouldn't let you do it until you got nude.
Oh, yeah, you also couldn't access it without Cheeto dust on your fingers.
Oh, I
so
see.
That was the other thing. That was a problem that had to be rectified immediately.
It's an interesting day. I just get the imagery of him at like a Sears family studio, just like tied himself up. He's like, take the picture now!
Take a picture,
take it now!
Take it,
I don't know if
come.
We can do this. I'm going to get the manager.
Do you want the stars background or the laser background?
Put me in the woods! Okay.
In fact, he did take all these in the woods, including one picture in which he took a picture of himself bound up in the dug-up grave of one of his victims. Like, he dug a grave for one
I
of his
I saw that
victims.
Picture, yeah.
He didn't end up using the grave, lazy motherfucker.
No, and that was creepy as fuck, because he's sitting there laying, wearing that lady mask.
Yeah.
So, but we really should, let's go deeper into, before we get into all the details,
yeah.
Let's go more to his personal life and where it comes from.
Yeah. And so... Yeah, yeah. He's the oldest of four brothers. Grew up, he actually grew up in Wichita, Kansas, so he knew exactly. He knew how the town worked. He knew everything. And so he was living in Park City. It was a suburb. And he was working at a Coleman plant, which Coleman makes wonderful camping gear, as we all know.
Yeah.
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 And he's had a list, a laundry list of the most boring jobs that you can have, which is just, again, the breeding ground for comedians and serial killers.
That's true.
It's either it's like temp work.
Yeah.
Temp work makes you a killer or just want to share laughter.
Yeah, and I'm sure the BTK thought he was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he loved his jokes.
He worked at the meat department at IGA Supermarket.
IGA? Which, I haven't heard that name in forever.
I worked at IGA.
Really?
As a janitor.
Wow. Seriously?
That's amazing.
In
you're
high school.
Same, you're like the same guy.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so while he was working at the plant, he spied out his first victim, or the mother of his first victims, the Otero family.
Okay.
Now,
and he was quoted as saying when he saw her, because he had been planning it for years. This had been something that was in the back of his mind. And he said when he saw her, this is something that he was quoted as saying in an interview with a newscaster at Cake TV.
I also don't like the fact that all of his correspondents had to deal with Cake TV.
I know.
Because when it comes down to it, it's like, I love cake, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there, you're eating cake, watching cake, and then the BTK killer news comes up.
Yeah.
You're just going to be like, now I can't finish slurping down all this icing.
Yeah.
Or you can
if you're me.
Yeah, and he was quoted, when he saw Otero, he said, That's when the ball game exploded.
Oh,
that's
excited.
When the ball game exploded,
so he
which meant he came his pants. That's what I'm going to say.
It's
from
not the
on.
Best euphemism.
If I ever
all time,
premature
yeah.
ejaculate ever again, I would just say, "Well, that ball game just went ahead and exploded." I'm
Isn't
sorry,
that
something?
Honey.
Yeah, and that was Julie Otero.
So he started. Did he when he was taking pictures of himself all bound up? Would he masturbate to those pictures of himself?
That I don't know.
It, I okay. just think it made him harder than he masturbated. They talk about also when you go into the details of his crimes as well, it was the same thing where the actions would make him incredibly excited and they think that he would either come while he was doing them or he would save it and get he'd be rigid hard throughout the whole process and then masturbate onto his victims.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing is also is that's got to be scarier than anything else. A fucking madman screaming at you with a rock-hard boner.
Terrifying. Terrifying.
Yeah. And that was the image that was in my mind the entire time.
The entire time.
Yeah.
So this first victim of his, did he... Did
well,
he,
it wasn't first just a victim, first victim. It was so, an entire family. He
yeah.
murdered an entire family. One
oh, okay.
Both. And so what he would do was... He was fascinated with children. That is, they know that he wasn't a pedophile.
Yeah.
But there was something
and
about
he never
them.
Raped anyone.
He never raped anyone. And basically,
well, he raped these women.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, he
no,
never
no
did.
Penetration whatsoever.
No, he okay. was a pussy. I know this is disgusting to say, but it was just like he was not aggressive. This
is it
all
fair to say that you
voyeuristic.
Would yeah. you respect him more had he raped these women?
No, it's not even that. It's just a it's. We were talking about this on the train coming up here. There's a difference between this guy and something like a Dahmer and something like a Gacy, where you feel like a Dahmer and a Gacy have some sort of emotional hole that they're filling with their crimes. This is a guy that was – he just believed that he was better than humankind.
Complete and total like textbook sociopath.
He was yeah. a megalomaniac. He
yeah.
thought that he – he thought
like we should
that
have
he
this
was
conversation.
Like
I feel like we should have this conversation with serial killer trading cards in our hands. It's like, but I want the Dahmer because he was a full personality.
Well, so basically what happened was is that what he would do is it was very little it wasn't a lot of it was he chose this family at random pretty much. He saw her and then it clicked
but he
in his
worked
head that
with
she
her
was
at the
Coleman
plant.
He didn't work with her. It was a big plant. He just saw her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he just clicked in his head. So what he would start to do is he would start tailing them and yeah. he watched
and
the family.
And he called these when he would choose a family he would call it his projects.
His projects.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, he had fun,
which is
little,
also the same
fun
thing.
Little names for everything.
I love the idea that it clicked in his head where he's just like working at the Coleman plant. And he's like, "Eureka!
I've done it again.
The ball game has exploded."
So he would tail this family for a long period of time.
So he was a stalker.
Basically, okay. he wanted to gather as much information about them as possible. And so what he would do, what he did with this first crime is that he watched them and basically trying to find out when it was a time when the father wasn't home and when the little girls and the mother were home. And he it was a boy and a girl. And he watched them and watched
11.
Them. Yes. And he went up to one of the kids one day and he was like, "Hey," and he showed him a picture of a person. He's like, "Have you seen this person? Have you seen this person anywhere in this neighborhood?" And she was like, "No, no." She's like, "Well, thank you. Thank you so much." And then he'd leave. And then a couple days later, on the day
of
the murder.
That reminds me of that Wayne's World's goof. Remember that?
Have you seen this boy?
Yeah.
Have you seen this boy? Then he would go up to on the day of the murder, he went up to the door and he rang the doorbell. The little girl answered and he was like, basically, he had earned her trust by yeah. showing her a picture. And he was like, "Have you seen this person?" And she's like, "No, I told you no, but maybe you asked my mom." He's like, "Is your mom home right now?" And she's like, "Yes." And then he walked in, pulled out a gun. And then basically it was the same rundown every time. He's like, "I have a sexual problem. But yeah. the thing is I'm here. I'm not here to do it. I'm here to rob you." And so what he'd do, he'd separate yeah. them. He'd put the kids in one room. And then basically what happened was is that as he was tying up the mother, the kids freaked out.
Because they could hear him killing her.
Yes. And okay. also the father was home. In the back, and he had no idea. So the father comes in as he's tying up the woman. They get into a struggle. He overcomes the father, then basically has to tie up the mother and the father, and he strangles the mother because what he would do with them is that he wouldn't actively strangle them. He would put a plastic bag over their face, then a cord, then a pillowcase, and then a cord. And the idea was so that you couldn't get through the pillowcase to rip through the plastic sheet. So it's like he would just tie them up and leave them.
Okay.
And basically, it started like that murder was a the murder of the family was a gigantic clusterfuck that it was just like one problem after the next because they basically he thought they were dead and they were just unconscious and they yeah. would pop back up
because
and
he said that a it was so, he's like, it's so much harder to strangle someone to death than you think it is.
Sounds like a comedy of errors.
So basically, he eventually killed he did it eventually after weakening them over time, and then...
How long did this whole ordeal take?
Probably hours, and it's in the middle of the day. This was in the middle of the day. And the very last thing he did was he hung the little girl up, the nine-year-old girl, in the basement by a steam pipe, and he said that the vision of her begging for mercy was so sexually gratifying to him that he came all over.
Yeah. Ah, all right. So he was slightly aroused by these children.
So it's like, this is a guy, like, I have chills on my spine, like, talking about this crime. Because it's like, then the police came and investigated, and no one found anything. Yeah. And it was silent. It was the middle of a fucking suburban neighborhood in the middle of the day. And he did it. And popped right back out and went right back to his life. This cold motherfucker.
Oh,
and basically,
back to work.
When it happened, and then a couple months afterwards, they've never seen anything like this in Wichita. It was this crazy ritualistic, like, torture killing in the middle of this town that has something like 10 murders, maybe a decade.
Yeah. It's a no locked doors type of town.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
he
got freaked out, and that's when he started writing letters to the newspaper. And he wrote the first letter.
How do you go back to working at the Coleman plant after murdering and coming all over the entire family?
We'll actually get to that fucking coldness and some of the later murders. It's insane.
No, he just showed up. He was like, hey, how's everybody doing? Yeah. You guys see Seinfeld, this new show? It's pretty hilarious. Oh, my. Oh, no, it's 1974, so it was like Rhoda.
Yeah.
He was a big Rhoda fan.
Dennis has really awkward, like, water fountain conversations.
No,
like,
I don't listen to Dennis.
Oh, okay. And that's a good idea.
No, that's the thing about it. He was the most normal of normal human beings.
Well, a lot of times we say people are normal when they're quiet and
he was a community leader. He was a Boy Scout leader.
Yeah.
He was
normal about a Boy Scout leader, though.
He was the president of the church council. Like, this man was a community, like, nobody in a million years.
Oh, yeah. He was like Gacy. Very similar to Gacy in that respect, in terms of, well, Gacy was gregarious and people liked him. Which was because, you know, he was a clown.
Well, yeah, and of course you have to build up community respect in order to slip under the radar. Yeah. No one expects Dennis to do that. The church man.
And then the next crime he committed was against a
Catherine Bright.
Catherine Bright. Now, Catherine Bright was, again, just a pretty young girl, and he did the same exact thing. He tracked her, and
how long would he usually stalk his victims for before he would kill them?
It seemed like and then he would watch them, and then Catherine Bright, he did the thing where he broke into her house while she wasn't home. He watched her shower. He watched her smoke a cigarette in her living room, watched her go to bed, and then he attacked her when she was asleep. And, like, that is terrifying. It's the Night Stalker thing. It's just
exactly.
That I know it's like, this is kind of heavy. It's harder for me even joke about it. It literally scared the shit out of me last night reading about this, because this is what we've been talking about. This guy would break into these people's homes, sit in a closet for hours because he's got the patience of a fucking sphinx because he's a psychopath, wait for the perfect moment to get you when you're most vulnerable.
Actually, that didn't start until the next murder. Catherine Bright was another fuck-up.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes,
Catherine
yes,
Bright was
because her boyfriend, that was the one where the brother was home, and he tried to—I'm sorry, I mixed it up with the other one. That was the one where he had a gun on him, and he pulled in, and the brother showed up and tried to wrestle it from him, and then basically he tried to shoot it. He shot him in the side of his head and, like, just knocked him out, and he thought he was dead, and then he started, like, strangling Catherine, and then he busted back in, and then he shot him in the face. Still lived.
Yeah.
Wandered out into the street. With a hole in his face, fell onto a car as it was going, and the cops came like 5 minutes later, and he was gone, and she was dead.
And after the assault, there needs to be
a sign that the city puts up, like, watch out for nearly dead people. You might hit them with your car. Watch out for deer
don't
and
help
nearly
them.
Dead people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw an interview with this guy as an adult. Looks fucking great for a guy who got shot in the face twice.
Oh, he still lived.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so how wasn't he able to identify BTK?
He got shot in the face twice.
Yeah, but didn't he see the guy who shot him?
No, he got shot. No, it was just like literally like you got shot in the side of the head. You were knocked clean unconscious.
Right.
You're just trying anything you can to help your sister who's in the middle of being raped. You just have to you're going at her, and then essentially you get just shot in the face.
And also Dennis Rader is just pretty generic white dude.
That's true. Yeah. All right.
And you know the funny thing is about this is that he stabbed her. This is the only one in which he used a knife to kill. And the only one in which he didn't use strangulation, and it was the only murder he never bragged about.
He wasn't proud of himself.
He was not proud of himself.
I wonder if he
didn't do well.
He probably didn't get any sexual satisfaction over it. It seems
like because he didn't get to because it was asphyxiation. No, he came all over.
He did.
Yeah, he always.
And did he say the same? I have a sexual problem.
I have a sexual problem.
It's like the lamest intro to Kill.
He would either say that or he would say, "I have a problem with sexual fantasies."
And then would he say anything to them before he would kill them?
There was a couple times where he would what he would do is he would say, "I have a sexual problem," and he would tell these women, it's like, "Listen, I'm not going to kill you, I'm just going to rape you, let me tie you up." And so they would say, "Okay,
deal."
I was like, "Okay,
this
you're right
fun.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
You were in my closet the whole day, I didn't even notice.
Look at you, you're quiet as a baggity bug.
This is amazing."
And so he would do all that, and then he would get to the point where he would strangle them, and it was while he was strangling them, he's like, "I'm the BTK killer."
He
was the man with a flair for drama. He wanted to up the tension.
No, he was like the Phantom of the Opera. And so then the next one that he tried to – the next person that he murdered was
so try,
Shirley Vian.
Shirley Vian, and this was another horrible story where it's like he – did the same thing, entry to the house through her kids by basically like just getting her kids to let him into the house. Again, stop having children. They let murderers in your house. She came in.
Are you blaming the children here?
I think blaming
you're
blaming
a little bit, isn't it?
But they went and he took the three children and he put them in a bathroom, locked, tied the door shut, then basically killed their mother. And as the children were listening to the mother get heard, the older brother of the kids just snapped into action and jimmied open a tiny window, got all of the kids out of the window through the bathroom, and like they escaped.
Yeah.
But he was, again, he admit later on that he was going to kill the kids. And it was the same exact thing.
So this
bound,
is another,
torched the woman.
Yeah.
Another group of people that saw him
that
escaped. I mean, he's the luckiest serial killer of all time. How hasn't he been caught yet?
Yeah, but the children, they rolled the children's description of him as unreliable. All they said was, you know, he was a white guy.
He was a man.
He was a man. And another fucked up thing that he did is that he, in order to keep the children occupied, he made Vian put toys in there and blankets to keep the kids occupied while he went and fucking killed her.
Oh, yeah, because again, he said, "I'm just trying to rob you. Get the kids out of here. I'm just trying to rob you." Now,
so this was another bot. So he's 0 for 3 as far
in terms of
killings go.
No,
and these are over at, like, the first three. I take it back. The first three were all in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from
boom, boom.
Yeah, from the first two were January of 74 and April 4th of 1974. Shirley Vian wasn't until 3 years later, 1977.
Oh, that's what they were saying. And then what happened was then he wrote a letter. Then he wrote a letter basically describing the murder of the Otero family. And it went ignored. Everyone was just like, well, he's kind of... Because originally they had picked up these three guys who had confessed to being BTK killers, the trying to be the killer to this family. And he wrote a letter saying, those people are just trying to they want to claim something they never did. He's like,
let it go, BTK!
No, because he wanted... Because this is what
he
wanted.
Of course.
And so the next thing here, this is an excerpt. This is from an actual letter, the follow-up letter he wrote after he wrote a very graphic, disgusting letter to the newspaper. I forget what, to Cake, right?
Cake.
So how many years after he killed the family did he write this letter?
3 years.
3 years, okay.
Now, this is a follow-up letter.
Why don't they pay attention to me?
This is the why don't they pay attention to me letter. And I will read it now. I find the newspaper not writing about the poem on Vian unamusing. A little paragraph would have been enough. Jesus. I know it's not the media fault. The police chief, he keep things quiet and doesn't let the public know they're a psycho running around loose, strangling mostly women. There's seven in the ground. Who will be next? How many do I have to kill before I get a name in the paper or some national attention? Do the cop think that all these deaths are not relating? Golly,
not a scribe.
No.
Not a scribe.
I also
definitely
think
not.
He was writing these things badly on purpose to show to basically portray that he was uneducated. Golly gee, yes, the MO is different in each, but look, a pattern is developing. The victims are tied up, mostly have been women, phone cut, bring some bondage, matter, sadist tendencies, no struggle. Outside the death spot, no witnesses except the Vane's kids. They were very lucky. A phone call saved them. I was going to tape the boys and put plastic bags over their head like I did Joseph and Shirley, and then hang the girl. God. Oh, God, what a beautiful sexual relief that would have been. Josephine, yikes. When I hung her, really turned me on. Her pleading for mercy, then the rope took hold. She helpless, staring at me with wide, terror-filled eyes, the rope getting tighter, tighter. You don't understand these things because you're not under the influence of Factor X. The same thing that made Son of Sam, Jack the Ripper, Havery Glattman, Boston Strangler, Dr. H.H. Holmes, Pantyhose Strangler of Florida, Hillside Strangler, Ted of the West Coast, and many more infamous character kill. Which seems senseless, but we cannot help it. There is no cure, no help, except death or being caught and put away. It is a terrible nightmare, but you see, I don't lose any sleep over it. After a thing like Fox, I come home and go about life like anyone else. And I will be like that until the urge hit me again. It's not continuous, and I don't have a lot of time. It take time to set a kill, one mistake and it all over. Since I about blew it on the phone, handwriting is out letter. Guide is too long, a typewriter can be traced too. My short poem of death and maybe a drawing. Later on, real picture and maybe a tape of the sound will come your way. How will you know me? Before a murder or murders, you will receive a copy of the initials of BTK. You keep that copy. The original will show up someday on Guess Who?
And then after that, he goes on to give some suggestions as to what names he should have.
Oh, all right. Oh, what are some of these suggestions?
The BTK Strangler.
Oh, that's fun.
The Wichita Strangler.
So okay. I'm sorry. Just real quick. We were talking about this previously. I think in just private. You can't give yourself a nickname. They're never going to give you the nickname you want. Didn't
never
somebody
was.
Want to be called Viper?
We talk about Cobra.
Yeah, Cobra.
Yeah, Nick Chivarella wanted to be called Viper. Yeah.
Definitely not.
No. This is a guy, again, he is he's a megalomaniac. He really thinks he deserves everything. And he also just sounds like an entertainment industry guy. He's got the instincts of an ad guy from like ABC.
If he wants to be the BTK
he knows what pops.
They're going to be like, okay, we're going to call you the BTK Chubbler. We're just going to go with the Chubbler.
He's like the Kat Dennings of serial killers.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's really got
Kat
his
Dennings.
Finger on the pulse.
Oh, yeah. All right, what are some other ones?
The Poetic Strangler, which I'll get in a moment. I'll get to why he wants to call himself the Poetic Strangler.
He writes poems.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The Bondage Strangler or Psycho, the Wichita Hangman.
The Wichita Hangman.
The Wichita Executioner. Here's my favorite, the Garrote Phantom.
What a fact.
The Garrote Phantom is
they should call him the Phantom of the Night.
I mean, what is he? Does he think?
And the asphyxiator.
It reminds me of the guy from the Poughkeepsie Tapes, if you've ever seen that film.
I honestly think Vince McMahon should have just hired him to design pro wrestling names. The Asphyxiator? These are the Garrote Phantom.
Yeah.
Worst names I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, yeah, they're awful. And then after this, he has his next victim, Nancy Fox. And Nancy Fox, this one is interesting because as soon as he, you know, pretty standard stuff, same MO as all the rest of them. As soon as he commits the murder, he goes to a payphone and calls 911.
It's amazing.
And he tells them there is a homicide here. Get police here. It's like it's at this address.
Yes, 911. Yes, it's the Garrote Phantom. Yes, there's a kill, a recent kill. Yeah. Yes.
And so they and this is when caller ID was brand new. People didn't even really know that it was, you know, a thing.
No, and they had the operators have it for 911.
Yeah, and they got the police got there in 2 minutes, and there was just the receiver dangling off the hook dramatically because it's such a fucking drama queen.
Right.
And then it sounds like
a modern day serial killer. Now all this stuff sounds like old hat, but when this shit was happening,
huge.
It was nightmarish. No one had ever seen this shit before.
No.
This guy was being like, and that was the thing. So it's like you have to say it's just like he was very good at what he was doing. But it's just, and again, you know, and how you get to be very good at what you're doing is you have to be a total unrepentant, disgusting monster. It's like you can't have it. It's like Dahmer had a problem. Dahmer was fucked. Like he was a lonely fucker who couldn't get laid, and that's what he was doing. Is he had a deep dark hole of sorrow in the center of him that made him do what he did.
And I think,
and then you, this is a guy, well, and then this was just, yeah, and again, it was just somebody who just loved the smell of his own shit, like Dennis fucking Rader. Like, this was a guy, and it's just like,
don't call me Lynn! Yeah, you get the feel, and really, Dahmer's sexual sadism isn't, I don't think it's as extreme as BTK. It's really just homosexuality mixed with a little corpse love.
He just should have been, like, he just needed medication and a therapist, and if someone had gotten to him early enough, like, he maybe could have been avoided, because you see him in those interviews afterwards, and he's been medicated, and he's been talking to, and you see him, like, he looks at horror about what he does.
Yeah,
Dennis Rader had no regret. Yeah.
Yeah. By this day, you know, Dahmer might be running that fucking chocolate factory.
You never know.
Him just with a big purple fucking top hat on, like tasting all the chocolates, and he's like, more sweet cream, please.
So
fucking
after,
Filipino boy sucking on his balls.
And so after after the death of Nancy Fox, that's when he starts sending in poems.
And how was the death of Nancy Fox? Did this one actually go as planned, or did he botch
this one
also?
Went perfectly.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the one where he was inspired. So he wrote a poem that was inspired by the old folk song, Oh Death.
Okay.
So this is, Oh, Death to Nancy.
Oh, my God.
What is that I can see? Cold icy hands taking hold of me. For death has come, you all can see.
So bad.
Hell has opened its gates to trick me.
He's wearing one of those old, like, New Orleans, like, masquerade masks.
Yeah.
He's writing it.
Oh, death. Oh, death. Can't you spare me over for another year? I'll stuff your jaws till you can't talk. I'll bind your legs till you can't walk. I'll tie your hands till you can't make a stand. And finally, I'll close your eyes so you can't see. I'll bring sexual death unto you for me.
I mean, it is not the best poetry.
No, and the next letter
did
he
they
wrote...
print that in the paper?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did he? But he said.
But
this
at
to the
this
paper.
Time, they at this time they still hadn't even told the public that there was a serial killer.
So it wasn't. Until,
I feel like that's bad cop work.
Well, it wasn't until this letter came out that they were like, "Well, we'll give him what he wants." He's just like, because basically the sheriff was like, "I'd rather have him expressing himself over
right.
letters over the television than killing people."
And we better take this poem seriously. It's written with a quill.
Yeah, yeah. So we got the seventh grade Mrs. Schrader, seventh grade English class has been on it.
Right.
They've been going looking for themes on it for classes now, and they think there's a lot of winter imagery.
he did actually write one poem about spring.
All right, what's that poem about?
This is after he's caught. It's pretty shitty.
Oh, okay.
It's just a fucking old fart writing a poem about spring.
The next letter he wrote was about a woman. I can't find her last name. Anna.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is, but this is a woman who got away.
This was a woman who it was the same exact thing. He had hid in her home for hours. He had stalked her and hid in her home. He popped out, and what's the exact breakdown? Because didn't she see him and just ran out of the house?
She saw him like she heard like some crunching in her flower bed.
You gotta leave the Cheetos at home, man.
No. Now I remember what it was. Now I remember what it was.
He's like the Carl Malone of serial killers.
He's never really
winning a championship.
Yeah,
yet.
Because. The funny thing is,
he won one with the Lakers,
the longer he goes on, the older his victims get.
Okay,
it's like first the youngest is 9, and then the next one is 20.
I think he realizes that they're easier and easier as he goes.
Yeah, Catherine Bright was 21, Shirley Vian was 24, Nancy Fox was 28, and then this woman, Nancy, she was an older lady.
You're talking about Anna?
Anna was just some woman that he had found, older woman,
in
her 40s, 50s, something like that. And he had stalked her. He had found, like,
would sit and lay down at night before going to bed, and he would think about the murder and play it over and over in his head till it became a reality.
Yeah.
And that's what he'd do. He would see one person and then just become fixated on them for some X reason or another, and then, like, fantasize it, like, no matter. So it wasn't even sexual. It's just about their ability to be killed.
It was all about fantasy.
And am I right? He's still married. He still has these two kids at home.
At this point, he has three.
Three. Don't bother daddy when he's lying down.
We'll actually get to that in a second. That's when it gets kind of creepy during the hiatus. So what he does is that he memorizes.
The Jenga games in the Raider house almost have been fucking heavy.
Like, everything is loaded. Intense.
Yeah. And so
in Clue, he has his own card in Clue, and it's like him every time. You're like, that's weird, Dad. You're
daddy
not actually
did
in
it.
The game.
Yeah. Daddy did it with the ropes in their house.
Yeah. And then he, what happens is he, knows that this woman goes to church on a certain day and then comes home and then she's alone. However, on the night that he planned to kill her, she ended up going and staying the night with a friend. And when the woman came home, she found that the back window was broken, her phone line was cut, her shit was like completely disheveled, and she called the cops and like, holy shit, you almost got killed by BTK. And then after this,
crazy.
And he
Good
wrote
thing that friend of hers had that Twilight party.
Yeah,
Twilight party.
This is why, like, if anyone ever asks you to do some last-minute plans, maybe you should just do them.
Just always do plans.
Because you never really know who's tracking you
and
trying to kill you at any given moment. That's why I do. I always mix up my actions. So don't try and fucking come for me.
And this
you want to fucking come for me, you're not going to find me.
And this is a poem that he wrote about her not showing up. This is called, "Oh Anna, Why Didn't You Appear?"
Oh my god.
'Twas perfect plan of deviant pleasure, so bold on that spring night. My inner feeling, hot with propension of the new awakening season. Worn, wet with inner fear and rapture, my pleasure of entanglement, like new vines at night. Oh Anna, why didn't you appear? Drop of fear, fresh spring rain would roll down from your nakedness to scent to lofty fever that burns within. In that small world of longing, fear, rapture, and desperation, the game we play, fall on devil's ears. Fantasy, spring forth, mounts to spring fury, then winter, calm at the end. Oh Anna, why didn't you appear? Alone, now in another time span, I lay with sweet enrapture garments across most private thought. Bed of spring moist grass, clean before the sun, enslaved with control. Warm wind scenting the air, sunlight, sparkle, tears, and eyes so deep and clear.
It also sounds like a Glade commercial. Like a little bit.
It does.
Alone again, I trod in past memory of mirrors, and ponder for why number 8 was not. Oh, Anna, why didn't you appear?
Now, this, again, I also imagine his wife, after all this going up, going, like, after being captured and all this stuff, she being like, "You know, he never once wrote me a poem."
Isn't that sad?
You know, with all this, we would just sit in silence and eat chicken most nights. Yeah. And he just, I didn't know he was capable of
writing
such beautiful
poems.
I don't
know why he would just strangle me. I'm his wife.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
And then the hiatus comes.
All right. Now, how long was this hiatus?
25 years.
And
25
years.
No, wait. No, I take that back, actually. There's still 3 more victims.
This is my question.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Do we
there was
need
a
to
hiatus
pause.
From 1977 to 1985.
Do we literally need to pause and do a second part of this episode and do a hiatus and afterwards and capture? Do we need to, or are we running out of time?
We're out of time, actually.
So why don't we should pause, and we're going to do a part 2 of this and go into his hiatus. We're going to go into the second half of his killings and into his capture, which is incredibly fascinating.
Yeah.
And this is, it's an amazing story. This is just a, you know, to all you would-be serial killers on there, don't be a pussy.
Yeah. Stop with the poetry and don't say, well,
do
I
what you got to do.
I have a sexual problem.
You show, you go, I'm the devil and I do the devil's work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I'll kill again.
Yeah.
That's so my serial killer. I'm the, what's it, the cold feet serial killer who never does it. Like, I'll kill again. So like, what do you do? Are you going to kill me now? I'll kill again.
Ooh, you got me good.
Well, do you have any food?
Oh.
You wouldn't pretend to be any tacos lying around.
Yeah, it was just the weirdest thing. He just threatened to kill me, but then he just ate all the beef in
and
the fridge.
And then he sat and we ate dinner with the family.
I wouldn't say he's a nice
he's
guy.
He's really funny. He's funny.
Funny, yeah.
He's a comedian. His name's Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah. Anyway.
So he's got a great new webisodes series coming out calling Huffin' It with Biff and Stew.
So he's
very nice and very entertaining.
When is that coming out, by the way?
February 1st.
February 1st, Huffin' It with
Biff
and Stew.
Yeah. Featuring Marcus Parks in the role of Toeless Joe and Ben Kissel in the role of token fucking creep.
Yeah, well, I get a blowjob from a cockroach. And, of course, Holden McNeely is also the co-star of it from the Round Table. And I was there as you guys shot, and it looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it really does. It looks great.
But we're going to come back, so we'll do BTK. Maybe we could do it like... We'll do it. We'll figure it out.
We'll do part 2. We're going to pick up again April 27th, 1985 with Marianne Hedge, one of his most depraved ones.
God damn.
I can't
wait. This one is brutal.
He's disgusting.
All right. Take us out with that spring poem, though.
Oh, the spring poem.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Of course.
And maybe we could put some music behind it.
Yeah, let's have something nice to have the audience hear.
This is called "Tis Spring Out There."
I mean, where does he get his ideas?
Oh, to walk among the new season, to heard a robin's voice, to see...
Hey, I'm a robin, hey!
Hey, how are you?
To see a dandelion bright, to watch a butterfly flight, to smell a simple flower bud.
Somebody
oh, spring...
Give this guy a fucking wedgie.
He's such a dork.
Oh, spring, these are the many reasons... Dennis L. Rader, 4/16/2005.
Oh, he's such...
Dahmer just killed people, guys.
Yeah.
Or he just killed people. He didn't write a fancy poem.
Made human
it.
Zombies.
This one, just one more.
One
there's,
more.
There's, this one is called Peas in a Pod Poem.
The green color pods at first were long and hollow. They
it's
had
actually about peas in a pod.
Peas in a pod.
It's not even about a friendship or something like that.
They had grown from Mother Earth, anti-society, into a wild vine. They vine with pods, long and curling upward, had many follows. How each pod had a unique pea that together walks a fine line. DLR 419, 2005.
He just equated himself to a pea pod. He just thinks he's a pea pod.
He's the word. All right. We'll talk to you next episode.
Magoostalations.
Magoostalations. Hail Satan.
Hail Gain.
Hail me!
All right.